you, Sabine, for this kind introduction. So now those who are here for the first time know what everyone else knows, that I'm not Graham. So, okay, so let's... Okay, I'm too tall for this. So we'll start with what most of you know very well, which is really what color correction is all about. And then we will look specifically into the two methods, which form a basis for many more methods. And then these are linear and polynomial color corrections. And then we will observe we'll make an observation about one problem with polynomial color correction. And we will propose a fix for it, basically, which is what we call root polynomial color correction. And well, as usual, there will be experiments, results, and conclusions. Okay, so what is color correction? We have two different sets of sensors here for two cameras. You can see how different they are. So if you imagine these two cameras taking photos of the same scene, of course the recorded RGBs will be, the raw RGBs will be very different, so they will not tell us much about the actual color signal entering those two cameras. So we need some sort of mapping from this device dependent RGBs into some device independent color space, which is XYZ or its derivative sRGB. And there are many methods to for doing that. There are spectral based methods, which basically you want to measure the actual spectral sensor sensitivities, and so these require quite expensive equipment. And then there are color target based methods, which are much cheaper. And and the most simplest color target based color correction algorithm is the simplest linear transform. So here we basically raw denotes the camera RGB, and we map this camera RGB using a 3x3 matrix M into the device independent color space such as XYZ. So how do we obtain this this matrix? Well, we can take photos of our color targets, some say N targets, and we can also measure those N targets with the colorimeter or spectroradiometer, and we put those RGBs into matrix R, which is now 3x N, and the XYZ values into matrix Q, which is the same size, and then we seek matrix M. We can find the matrix M in the least square sense using Moore-Penrose pseudo-inverse. And of course, matrix M is just a least square solution, so it's not perfect. It cannot be, because basically it expresses the camera RGBs as a linear combination. Well, it expresses vector Q as a linear combination of camera RGBs, which is of course not the case, as you've seen the camera sensors are not linear combinations of XYZ color matching functions. So we can improve this mapping by extending vector raw, our camera RGBs, which is a free vector, of course, with additional terms, polynomial terms. So for the second order polynomial, we would have a 9 vector. And so the number of terms increases quickly with the order of the polynomial. So for the third order, we have a 19 vector. And now our matrix M becomes, M dash, it's much bigger. It is now 3 by 9 or 3 by 19, depending on on the order of the polynomial. And again, this matrix can be found using the pseudo inverse, but in this case, often some regularization is needed, as obtaining a least squares solution involves inverting of a matrix which can be rank deficient. So, but this can be solved by some standard methods. Okay, so this is all very well. However, there is a certain problem about polynomial color correction. So let's look at this more carefully. For the linear method, we have our pixel RGB. We are mapping it to some XYZ or sRGB. So our pixel is mapped, pixel row is mapped to Q. So what happens if we place this pixel in another place in the scene where the illumination is scaled by some factor K? So rho becomes K rho, and it has KR, KG, KB elements. And of course, substituting this into the previous equation, let's just conclude that K rho is mapped to KQ, which is exactly what we wanted. However, with polynomial regression, the story is quite different. So our extended vector rho dash is mapped to Q. So this vector represents rho. So yes, rho was mapped to Q. However, again, if we place our pixel rho in another place in the scene and create an extended vector K rho dash, then you can see that its terms were scaled by k for the linear terms and k square for the higher order terms, and basically we can conclude that k rho will not be mapped to kq, and so basically placing this pixel in another place in the scene will slightly change the chromaticity to which this RGB value will be mapped. Okay, so and this manifests itself as you can see here. So with axis, I marked positions of some surfaces from some data set into the XY chromaticity diagram, and the red lines here, they denote, they basically show how the chromaticity of those patches shifts as they are color corrected by the polynomial method. So I must admit that the bad examples are overrepresented here. It wouldn't be so. We have also some examples which where they shift only slightly, but in some cases the shifts are quite dramatic. Okay, so what can we? Oh, and this is also how this could look. So unfortunately, from this angle with this projector, we cannot see this. But what you would see here is the color changing as we increase the intensity from black to full blue. And on my monitor, it looks like it is going slightly through blue towards green. And this is just normalized. So here you can see this better. So it is slightly green going through blue and green again. Okay. So how can we fix this? So the problem is with those terms being scaled by in a nonlinear fashion. So the solution is simply to take the nth root of each nth order term in our extended vector rho dash. So for the second order polynomial, which is a 9th vector, if we take this second root, square root, then of course, well, RGB will stay the same, R squared G squared B squared will become RGB, so we are just removing them from this vector. And the RGGB and RB, well, they are just squared. So as you can see that for the root polynomial terms, which we denote as rho double dash, the vector is shorter. And for the third order, well, it's of course also shorter. For each subsequent order, the vector will be shorter by another three elements. And here you can really see the advantage of this. So if we take the nth root of the extended k rho vector, then you will see that those squared factors will basically become well, the same as in the linear terms. So we can basically see that that this is just a scaling factor. This becomes a scaling factor of the entire vector rho double dash. So basically the problem disappears. So what I've added to this graph is just so except x's, which were the true locations of the surfaces in the chromaticity diagram, I've added some pluses, which are the locations of the which are the chromaticities obtained using root polynomial correction, as the intensity was also being increased. But of course, you can see just one point, so there would be many pluses one on top of the other. And this is how it looks for the same patch I showed later. So here there was this color change through green, whereas for the root polynomial method the patch stays the same chromaticity as the color changes, as the intensity changes. Okay, so the first round of experiments, so we tested this root polynomials using a kind of standard paradigm used to test those methods. So we used three data sets of spectral reflectances, those from the X-Rite SG chart, those from the older X-Rite DC chart, and the Simon Fraser University data set of 1995 reflectances. So the first two are much smaller than the last one. And all those, both data sets were sampled at 31 wavelengths, which is a standard procedure usually in those experiments. And then we simulated those reflectances under D65 and integrated with Sony sensors, which are the sensors on the left from my first slide, and the color matching functions. Okay, and then we built our regression models using previously defined polynomials. So linear is also polynomial, and then second, third, and fourth order, and the root polynomials of second, third, and fourth order. And for each of those three data sets, basically we calculated the result using the leave one out validation. So we've built as many models as there are samples in the data set and tested those models on the remaining surface. And the error we will give is in the LUV color space, delta in LUV. Okay, so what we have here? So we have the three data sets. Here we have the polynomial results, linear, second, third, and fourth order, and the root polynomial results. And we have a mean, median, and 95th percentile. So you can see, so what we can see. So for the smallest data set, we can see how the results improve as we, you know, add extra terms. But we also immediately see that all the root polynomials are better than the best one, even the one with just three extra terms. It doesn't look as favorable to root polynomials in the other two, where the results of the root polynomials are more or less similar to the best polynomial, which is what you would really expect. So probably this is due to the fact that this is a small data set, and if you have many terms here with root polynomials, you might get this type of problem. So it may favor some shorter, less complex models. Okay, so this looks very nice. And we can also see here that for all those all the root polynomials, the improvement took really by adding those three extra terms to the second order root polynomial, whereas the improvement of the polynomials was much slower in each case. Okay, so then the next experiment we did, we basically used the previously learned models, and we scaled the RGBs and XYZs by the factor 0.5 and 1.5, simulating the decrease in illumination and the increase. And we show the results here only for the two data sets, two larger data sets, DC and SFU. So what we can see here that, well, you remembered in the previous one the fourth order polynomial was better than the root polynomials, just slightly better. But you can see that the improvement is much slower. In some cases, the results actually degrade or stay more or less the same. So there is no improvement really of using higher order polynomials. Whereas for the root polynomials, as the theory shows, the results stay the same. Okay, and then we did one more experiment with a real camera, so Nikon D60. So we captured the color target, SG color chart with 96 patches. So this is the first data set we used in the synthetic experiments. And we captured this target in two conditions, dimmer set to 100% and 50%. So you can see that for the fixed illumination, all the root polynomials are, yes, slightly better than even the, you know, highest order polynomial. As the illumination is decreased by 50%, then yes, the performance of the higher order polynomials drops off. These stay the same. Well, they don't exactly stay the same because this is the real data and another image, so they stay the same but are just different due to noise and all sorts of things. And we also simulated an increase by 10 and 20 of illumination by 10 and 20%. We didn't capture the actual chart. We couldn't do it at that time. So we just simulated a slight increase. So this is an increase within one f-stop, really. And you can see that the results of the higher order polynomials, they start to degrade already for such a small increase of the factor k, whereas these stay fixed as they are here. Okay, so the conclusions. So in a fixed illumination scenario, the root polynomials and high order polynomials usually offer similar performance, although we could see that particularly for small data sets used for training, there is an advantage even here of using root polynomials. Of course, as we scale the intensity up and down, then the real advantage of the root polynomials will start to emerge. And this happens even within one f-stop, so for the same camera settings. Okay, so in any illumination scenario, the root polynomials will always outperform the linear model, which is the only other intensity invariant model. And another advantage of the root polynomials is, as I said earlier, is that the performance peaks, as you add additional terms, picks up quite quickly with only the second order root polynomial. So we haven't tested it, but we think that this method could be particularly suitable for color correction in the HDR images, because we can, I think I don't know if I have one minute, because we have just a quick announcement. So do we have time for questions?
Well,
time?
The other. Okay, so no questions. You can have minutes.
So while. No. So let's
no,
do.
Ahead, go ahead.
So it's just 30 seconds. We have a postdoc job out here. So basically it's a rare opportunity of 4 year. For your post in a beautiful city of Norwich in East Anglia, Eastern England, you would work in a School of Computing Sciences in Graham Finlayson's Color Group. I encourage you, all the capable candidates, to speak to Graham, which is here at CIC. So questions, please.